My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He's also a Fox News military analyst. He rose to the position of Assistant Vice Chief of Staff in the U.S. Air Force, and he's a guest of ours and has been many times throughout the War on Terror and different missions in recent years, including the one in Libya, which the general opposed. And now we're going to get his thoughts on the decision of the Obama administration to arm the rebels in Syria. According to estimates, nearly 100,000 people have died in the two-year-long civil war. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, the Obama administration had said in recent months that the use of weapons of mass destruction would be a red line that they would have to deal with. When those reports first came in, they said they needed more time to study it. Now, in the last several days, we've learned that they believe that those weapons were used, and as a result, the rebels will be armed in some capacity, and there may even be a no-fly zone instituted over Syria. What do you make of the administration's decision?
Well, I have a problem with it, Greg. There are between 100 and 150 casualties on the chemical warfare, if that's in fact true. But the bigger thing is, there, as you pointed out, 100,000 other casualties. So it seems to me to be a day late and a dollar short. Saying that you're going to have a no-fly zone, you know where the no-fly zones are today, Greg? Over all the U.S. Air Force bases. We have grounded one-third of the United States Air Force because of sequestration and the lack of the administration's initiative to ensure that these units are not standing down. So we have a huge problem there. If we tried to do a no-fly zone against a rather sophisticated air defense system in Syria, it would cost a lot of resources that, frankly, aren't available right now because of the sequestration and the stand down driven by the Obama administration. So what people are saying and promising is not reality, and that's what troubles me. What are our interests in Syria today? They want to back General Idris of the Free Syrian Army. That's the wrong part of the Free Syrian Army, General Idris. And so I'm troubled they don't even know the right part of the Free Syrian Army that they want to back. So that makes it even more troubling. And we're going to get into what we got in Libya that resulted in Benghazi supporting a radical Islamist state when we already had a tyrant there who was supporting us. So you can see I'm very troubled with what the administration is saying now about doing something in Syria.
General, let's walk through the different arguments here, and I'll throw out at least three that guests have brought to our attention. One is that we could be on the verge of some sort of humanitarian calamity if, in fact, the Syrian government is willing to use chemical and other weapons that could result in high casualty rates. Others say, look, the Assad side is on the Iranian, is basically an Iranian proxy. The rebels, though, are basically proxies of al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. So how could we possibly cheer for either side in this? And then you have others like Ambassador John Bolton who say our only real interest is to make sure that if there are WMD there, that they don't get into the wrong hands and outside of Syria. What's the best policy either of those three or even outside of those three, in your opinion?
Well, I agree with Ambassador John Bolton that we do not want those chemical weapons, and they have a lot of them. And some of us believe that the ones from Iraq went into Syria. But the fact is we do not want them to get in the hands of Hezbollah. Yes, Syria is a proxy of Iran. And so none of us want to see Bashar Assad continue. But the fact is our entry now, if we're on the verge of a catastrophe with 100,000, is a little bit late. We should have been doing something a lot earlier and identified those friendlies, not the radical Islamists that have moved in there. And that's the troubling thing. So we need the administration to delineate just what the objectives are, what they're trying to do, and if they think they can accomplish those goals. Right now, we've not heard anything, haven't heard anything from the president, virtually. We hear it from a deputy national security advisor. So these are the troubling things to me. The American people do not want to get involved, particularly with boots on the ground with any forces in Syria right now, and they're right. Should we take out Bashar Assad? Yeah, I'd take him out, but that still won't solve the problem. And you've got Russia, Syria, excuse me, you've got Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah all backing Bashar Assad right now. So that's the difficulty. I haven't heard anybody articulate the right group to support. Have we identified them? Unfortunately, Senator McCain went over there, saw some of the rebels, and he saw the wrong rebels. And yet he still wants to have a no-fly zone. And so even on the Republican side, and quote, the supposedly most knowledgeable people there, haven't put forth a good solution and a strategic purpose.
Real quick follow-ups on a couple of your points there, General. First of all, you mentioned the challenge of identifying reputable allies inside the rebel community. Do you think at this point that's even doable?
Yeah, there is, but this administration doesn't want to listen to the people who know who the reputable allies are. So that's the real difficulty, and that's the complexity that has forced me to take the position that I'm now espousing to you.
As long as these two sides, the Iranian proxies and the Assad regime, and those in the Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood camps are focused on each other and slogging it out with each other, does that mean life for us, perhaps even life for the Israelis, is a little bit more stable as long as they're worried about killing each other? Or are we just in as much danger as we otherwise would be, even though they are focused on each other to some extent?
Well, I think it means that we don't know enough to get in it, and we don't have strategic objectives to get in it other than, quote, humanitarian, and that's not good enough for me.
Last question, and that deals with the Russians, who you mentioned are very vigorously backing the Assad regime. If we start arming the rebels, what type of response do you expect from the Russians, and do you think there could be any significant escalation there?
Well, there could be an escalation. The fact is if we end up arming whether they're the good or the bad rebels, they will create a problem for the Russians, and the Russians will up the ante. And so I'm not worried about the Russians upping the ante. As long as they don't push 300 surface-to-air missiles in there, that would concern me a great deal. We have enough intelligence and surveillance assets, like Global Hawks and that we can provide a great deal of information to, quote, the good allies, the good people over there, and we should be doing that, as well as the small arms. And I have not said that I would not send the small arms and those kind of munitions to those people if they identify the right friendlies. And that's what they have not yet done. And when they start talking about General Idris, I know they don't know who the right friendly people are, Greg, and that's my concern.
Very, very complicated, as most people will admit. General, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, he is a Fox News military analyst, and he's a former Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the U.S. Air Force. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.